All right, welcome back to the Run.Down here on the Strickland, the Run.Down, the Strickland post-game show to the Knicks game. Knicks lose 127-123 in regulation. No, that is not an overtime score. That is a regulation basketball score in the year of our Lord 2022. But yeah, the Knicks lose. This loss was, I would say, much more palatable than the loss versus the Trailblazers, seeing as the Trailblazers game, we were up and we lost the lead and a lot of things happened that shouldn't have happened. But we won't talk about that game anymore because that post game had me absolutely drained. But we'll talk about this game. This game was much more enjoyable, I will say. A lot more positive things to get at. Still some issues here and there that we will address. But yeah. I mean, another 30-point game from Jalen Brunson, 35-9, establishing himself as one of the better guards in the East, I would say, at this point, with a consistent run of 30-point games. He absolutely took over again, once again, in the fourth quarter. I believe he had more than, like, I want to say more than 14 points in the fourth quarter.
I think he had 16.
16? Okay, yeah. So 16 points in the fourth quarter. He absolutely took over. He had the ball at all moments that every fan wanted him to have the ball, so there's no complaints there. I mean, he didn't get the shots to go, but, I mean, the fact that he had the ball in his hands and he got two pretty decent looks was pretty respectable, and, you know, I can't be pissed at that.
He's also playing with one quad. Like,
yes.
He also twisted
his ankle in the first quarter.
The fact that he was able to gut that game out, like, and bring us to the point where we had the lead at one point, like, you can't say anything more about him. Clearly an all-star this year. I don't even think there's much debate. Like, I feel like after, I want to say, the Cleveland backcourt and Halliburton, he's right there. Like, three 30-point games in a row. First time in his career he's ever done that. Very efficient 30 points as well on only 19 shots. 12 free throw attempts as well. Like, what doesn't he do? Unfortunately, he didn't win us the game tonight, but again, playing through injury. And, yeah, I feel like if he's healthy, I think they win this game. But, like, cannot say more about Jalen Brunson. I think he's starting to enter that star conversation. I feel like he's on the precipice. I feel like I want to see this last a little bit longer, but he's right there, man. Like, he feels like he could be like a 23, 24, and 7 or 8 kind of guy, and like he's just finding his footing now. And you're starting to see him like take control of the offense the way that I think a lot of people envisioned him taking control of the offense when he was signed. And so far, so good. Just cannot complain more about him. Yeah, just great game from him. Another great game from him.
Yeah, a good game, great game from him. Much improved. Oh, you know, let's get to Mitch. I think Mitch's paint presence is something that we need to highlight. Definitely much improved game today. 16-7, had 5 blocks tonight. There was some issues with rebounding and boxing out that, you know, were evident not just among him, but among the whole team, I would say. And that's an issue that everyone on this roster needs to clean up, because that I felt like that led to a lot of extra points that Memphis probably shouldn't have had tonight. But yeah, he had a really great game defensively in terms of like being a help defender on Morant's drives, especially in the first quarter, in the first half. And that was due to like Grimes being able to like somewhat stifle him, and then Mitch being able to come over and help. That was really impressive. So I thought he did a good game. He had a good game today. But yeah, how'd you feel about Mitch?
Until the fourth quarter, he was their best player tonight. His ability to just, like, affect drives, his ability to create second chance opportunities, his ability to stifle guards, bigs, wings, whoever it is, with his help defense was incredible tonight. Again, he had 16 points, 7 rebounds, 4 offensive rebounds, which is a good night for Mitch, probably not as good as he wanted to be against Steven Adams, but still, he was able to contribute. And 5 blocks. 5 blocks, like, Mitchell Robinson did his job tonight, and this is what you expect from Mitchell Robinson. He got to the line 7 times as well, so being able to put pressure on the defense, being able to create those opportunities with his lobs and his dunks. Not much more you could say about him tonight. He did what he needed to do. He was a plus this game. I think he was one of 3 pluses with Quickly and Cam. So clearly, like, he was able to make an impact. And yeah, can't say much more about him. He was fantastic tonight.
Yeah. On to the other player that had a much way more improved game. RJ Barrett, 22-7-4. He definitely looks like he saw some of the threads that were going on Twitter, saw some of the criticism about his reads on drives. Way better today. 50% from the field. Didn't take as many. My fucking box score can scroll over. I hate NBA app. This is like NBA app. If you're probably not watching, the people that make this app or work on it. If you're watching, this app stinks. It absolutely reeks. I hate it. But anyways, yeah. He took 6 threes, hit 2 of them. I mean, the whole team couldn't shoot basically today, so I'm not really going to harp on that too much for him, but I will say that the decision making on the drives was much, much better today. I think he looks like he made a concerted effort to start the game off with drives that were leading to passing out to open shooters. Today, shooters just didn't convert. That's going to happen, so you can't be mad there, but you can be happy with the process, which was way better today. And that's all everyone was basically asking for, basically after the end of the last game, especially the times where he drove and there were multiple bodies and there were guys open that wanted to shoot or needed to shoot or could shoot. That would have probably helped us win the game. But yeah, I definitely liked his process today, and you can see it in the results that it was definitely much better.
Yeah, I felt like he played a really strong game today. Again, as you highlighted the passing, he had 4 assists tonight, only 2 turnovers. I felt like he was more active, especially more active on fighting for rebounds and stuff like that. I feel like he was more active. He still got a couple plays where he got beat back door defensively, and he was still not rotating out the shooters as well as what I'd like them to be, but it was an improvement over the last couple of weeks. So ultimately speaking, slow and steady, an efficient 20, you'll take it. Hopefully the defense takes a leap, but I feel like offensively he was on his shit tonight, which is all you want to see him be. And yeah, can't really complain about that.
Definitely. Number 30, Mr. Randall. 14-10-9. Only took 9 shots today. Wow.
Yeah, but he didn't. He wasn't a problem.
I didn't really have a problem with him. I mean, defensively is always going to be some things that he needs to clean up. But I thought he played.
I feel like his defense in the fourth was okay. I feel he was able to. I think he had like one bad read, but other than that, like, he was able to stonewall like Jaren Jackson Jr. at the hoop a few times. He was able to like intercept some passing lanes. I feel like he played fine. Like, of course, obviously you want to see him be a little bit more stingy. That didn't happen, but yeah, he played fine tonight. He played within his role. Got to the line 6 times. Yeah, like when he doesn't, he played within the flow of the offense tonight. I just wish he hit more shots, but as you can see, like 3 or 4 from 2 and 1 of 5 from 3. I wish he would have taken more 2-pointers, but then again, like nobody in the team could hit 3s tonight, so I'm not really going to harp on it too much, like you said. And yeah, I think the big problem though was like fouling Aldama.
Yes, that gave them extra points that we did not need to give them, because every Knicks game has become a shootout lately. Like, we are like, I don't know what it is, what's the score been like lately, but like, what are teams scoring like 100 and like I want to say 10 plus against us lately these last couple games? Like, it's been like something consistently like that, and it's annoying. But like, yeah, we did like that fouling of Aldama was just unnecessary. It gave them extra points. But yeah, I mean, hopefully, you know, you live and you learn from those moments. I mean, we've seen Julius go through those moments a lot where teams or players will get under his skin, especially a role player will get under his skin and it bothers him and it leads to him making a mistake like that. So, you know, he has to learn to control that. Maybe some more meditating, some more smiling, you know, the good stuff.
Yeah, I do want to say that, like, I did like his passing this game. I felt like he was able to find people really effectively, and I feel like he was passing out of drives a lot more than he usually would.
That pass to Cam in the fourth was key right there.
Yeah, and I think he had almost another one, and that might have been Brunson, I'm not sure. But there was another pass to Cam in the corner where, like, he catches it, takes a 3D, misses it. But again, I feel like the offense was clicking tonight. I felt like it was a really good process from everybody, really. I feel like there was a really good process across the board. And if they can play like that offensively every night, hopefully they hit more threes. But in the second half, they were hitting their threes. It was really just that first half was just Man, that first half shooting wise, like they played so much better than Memphis, but Memphis was just able to hit their shots and the Knicks weren't able to. And I feel like that kind of what hurt them,
That and the
hurt them in
rebounding.
the, yeah, the rebounding was bad. Like the rebounding was bad, has been bad. Granted, Steven Adams is still one of the best offensive rebounders in the league, but like you have one of the best offensive rebounders in the league as well. And I feel like the team should be better defensive rebounding than they are. I don't know if it's the increased pace. I don't know if it's just like a lack of like boxing out and hustle. Might be column A, column B, but like, yeah, I would have wanted to see the defensive rebounding tick up. And I feel like it's the reason why their defense has been so bad lately because they're not ending possessions and they're giving teams second opportunities.
Lastly of the starters, Quentin Grimes, again, another solid game. I'm waiting for the shooting boom to happen so badly because like when it happens, it's just gonna like I feel like the offense is already pretty good, but like when that happens, it's just gonna open up so much more for the offense because it opens up more for his drives, which are already been great. The playmaking again, once again, is popping off the screen. I mean, the attacking of closeouts and then dishing off to Mitch down low or dishing off to whoever's down low has been really something that is I just saw that comment. But yeah, Grimes's playmaking is definitely popping. I'm just waiting for the 3-point shooting to really start exploding, and then that's when we could really get things going. His defense was key to stifling Ja Morant in the first half. I wonder why he didn't go back to it. I know Cam was rolling at a
I kind
certain
of felt like
point.
he just wanted to roll with Cam because Cam had
And I
like the
respect
half.
that because that's
But I
something we would have
respect
criticized him
that.
for in the past.
Like, I don't know who you take out in that scenario, though. That's the problem. Like, do you want to put RJ at the four? No.
It's a tricky
Like,
situation though.
yeah, like that's a situation where I was like, I can't get mad at Tibbs because everybody on that was on the court at the time made sense.
It
And
was a productive lineup.
they're trying to go and they need offense. And Grimes wasn't giving you anything tonight offensively. He was giving you a lot of playmaking, he was giving you really good energy and hustle, but Cam was hitting his shots. And we can talk about Cam a little bit later, but Cam was hitting his shots. He had that big shot, that big three. Like after I think Ja hit that three, Cam came right back with a three. That was a really big shot. His energy and hustle was great as well. So yeah, I can't get mad at him not playing Grimes, but at the same time, I do feel like Grimes should have been out there, especially down the stretch when Cam
Well,
wasn't getting the ball as
you
much.
know what a good coach would have done? Would have staggered their minutes more a little bit in the fourth quarter. Because I feel like that's something that because I don't know how many minutes straight did Cam play in the fourth quarter.
I think he might have played the entire fourth.
See,
I could check.
that's the thing. I would have staggered a little bit more. Maybe that would have thrown one of them off their rhythm or something. But
He played, yeah, he played the entire fourth.
I mean, his offense was great, but his defense against Ja, I feel like that's something that Grimes was playing much better in that situation. So yeah, before we get to comments, once again, everybody's favorite part of the shows. If I can find the tab that has it open. Too many tabs open. All right. Let's pull this up. Course, my internet. There we go. NBA fans, the wait is over. Basketball is back. So tip off the season with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NBA. New customers can make any $5 NBA moneyline bet and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Check this out. In addition to the usual bets, everyone can boost their winnings up to 100% with DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. Go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, opt in, and stepped up and place a stepped up same game parlay today. With payouts bigger than ever, DraftKings Sportsbook is where I go to bet on the NBA. Let's see what's tomorrow's matchups. Ooh, interesting matchups. Wow. Where do I even start? King Suns. Take De'Aaron Fox over in points.
Yeah, he going crazy. I would take the over. What
Take
are
him
Sabonis'
over.
assists? Probably take the over on that too.
Yeah, I would take that too. And let's see. I would take, man, Cameron Payne's been on a roll
Which is nasty.
without Chris Paul. So you might want to look into that. I feel like this is gonna be a high-paced game. Two teams that have been respectably rolling lately. The Kings just recently had a winning streak snapped, and the Suns have been pretty above water since Chris Paul's been out. So, you know, there might be a lot of points in this game, too, if you just want to take a couple guys overs. But definitely take De'Aaron Fox and maybe Cameron Payne for starters there, and then go from there. Maybe take the over in the total, too. I don't know what the total's going to be at, but whatever the total's at, maybe take the over. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now. Use promo code TBPN. Make any $5 bet this week and get $200 in free bets if your team wins. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with promo code TBPN. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes or show description for details. All right. Let's get to some comments. All right, here we go. Brian Benjamin. Although OB offense isn't going there, there's no question to the amount of effort he plays with on both ends, as opposed to RJ and 30. This comment was left at 6:47. Wow, this was super early in the game. Wow. Man. This was like the second quarter or something. This might have been actually the second quarter.
Yeah, that definitely has to be before the second quarter or the third quarter, because like that third quarter where basically Brendan Clark and Jared Dudley Jr. took turns on Obi Toppin.
Yeah, it was
paint. It was like rough. That was rough lost
day for
them,
my boy Obadiah.
That lost them the game. Cause straight up like rough go. He could not stop them. And Brendan Clark was literally sunning him.
That's a game where we probably need to go to Sims in that moment.
Yeah. I do not understand the Hartenstein and Obi minutes. I think they played together at some point, and I'm like, why? Why is Sims not playing against Brandon Clark and Jaren Jackson Jr., especially when you need switch defense and they're not using Hartenstein correctly? I don't get this idea. Why is Sims not playing?
It was pick and roll at 55 so many times in that third quarter.
They treated him like Cantor. They treated him like Cantor. For whatever reason, they just did not decide to.
I don't care what Dibs' philosophies are on like rotations. He played Deuce in like he gave Deuce the Frank Ntilikina treatment that he gave him in the 2021 year. I don't know why, if you're not gonna like give him any extended run, whatever, but like you gotta give Sims more run. You said like he basically said that they were open to playing three centers. Now that the rotation's fully healthy, I think you gotta fully commit to that now, especially when Hartenstein's not giving you anything, or even don't even commit to Hartenstein, just play Sims.
It made no sense to play three centers against Portland, but then play two centers against the Grizzlies, who have like four centers. Like, they were able to play Jared Jackson Jr., they played Steven Adams, they played Brandon Clark, Santi Aldama.
He's like a 6'10", like stretch, weird wing big combo ish thing.
So, like, I don't understand why you aren't playing Sims. Because they're playing three centers, and we're not going small. I think we went small for like maybe two possessions in the fourth quarter, and then it worked, and then he immediately put Mitch back in as soon as Ja came back in. So, like, I don't understand that reasoning. I don't understand that logic. I feel like Sims gives you more against Clark, and Obi needed that help. Because, again, Obi Toppin was literally getting slotted out.
There was a play where Jaren Jackson Jr. just went right over the top of him. I was just like, yeah, tonight is not my guy's night.
But it hasn't been his month. It hasn't been his night for a month. I think he had a decent game offensively. He used it to break out a little bit, but still, I just look at Obi Toppin and I'm like, again, I don't see, like, he's an uber athlete. I'll give him absolutely that. He's tried really hard in terms of, like, being able to get to a passable level on defense.
Oh my gosh, I just saw this play that Andrew Wiggins had on top of Gobert. Timberwolves is a nasty team. Whatever we think about the Knicks, I'll say this. Whatever we think about the Knicks, let's be glad we didn't give up a whole bunch of picks for some dude that's going to cripple our team.
And they're going to tree one of them next year because there's no way they're running back that team.
So whatever we think about the Knicks, let's just be happy we're not the Timberwolves.
Again, y'all don't understand. It could be so much. Like, you could be the Chicago Bulls right now with DeRozan's your best player, and you gave Knockney's Levine $215 million. And Lonzo Ball hasn't played a minute for you yet. He has no timetable. And again, you gave him $80 million. And he has a team option in the fourth year. And Patrick Williams is your fourth overall pick, and he's not giving you anything. And then they traded for Vucevic with two first-round picks that are going to be both probably top eight. Yeah. It could be worse, ladies and gentlemen. Worse. It could be so much worse. But much worse. Yeah, back to the Harden standpoint and the Obi point. Like, I feel like those men has kind of lost us the game. And I just do – like, I like when Obi Toppin gets a little bit of run. Tonight should have been a quick hook. It should have been Sims. It should have been more like Grimes and Cam, if you could do the three and the four. Because they were playing small. Like, they weren't, like, really playing really, like, huge wing lineups. You saw, like, Jake LaRavia and Roddy Davis play. And those guys are, like, 6'5", 6'6".
And they're rookies.
Yeah.
And like, they're rookies. Like, what are we scared of?
Yeah, so I would have liked to see more, like, less contractually obligated minutes for Sims. Or not for Sims, for Hardenstein. Definitely should have played Sims, especially because, like, you needed that pick-and-roll defense against Ja. And, yeah. But again, like, the coaching was such, like, the coaching was okay tonight. I feel like the coaching was okay.
It wasn't something that I'm, like, screaming at my TV about, like, games.
Ultimately, the moves that were made were fine. The offense is really just, like, Ayo Brunson bail us out. And he's been doing it, so, like, like, this is a loss where I'm just like, okay, like, they lost. They should have lost this game, but the process tonight was really good. I feel like they're, like, I'm not really looking at wins and losses for the rest of the season. I'm looking at, like, who are the guys who are playing the way they should be playing. And, like, again, it's been Brunson. It was Mitch. It was Grimes. It was Cam. It was IQ before he got hurt. We have to talk about that as well. He came out to be able to sore knee. So hopefully that doesn't last too long. But, like, if they're missing IQ for, like, a stretch, that's going to be really rough, but that might give a chance for Deuce McBride to do something, so we'll see how that works. But, yeah, like, I feel like the process tonight was overall really good. I feel like defensively could have been better, but they weren't, like, as atrocious as they were. And if the first half shooting matched the second half shooting in terms of effectiveness, I feel like they would have won this game. So hopefully the shooting regression finally has some positive regression. But, yeah, man, like, when you shoot 10 to 30 and your shooting percentage of the season is going to go up, that should tell you how, like, rough this team has been shooting the basketball.
Yeah, I mean, what are the Knicks? Last in
30th. They are 30th.
Last in the league in three-point percentage.
Oh, yeah, I forgot. It's only 32, not 32.
I'm thinking about football. Yeah, they're last.
It's bad.
It's bad. I mean, we shot, what, 10 for 30 tonight?
Which is a good game for us, apparently.
It's terrible. Yeah. Wow, I didn't even mention the officiating tonight, which I also thought was somewhat of an issue. It wasn't that bad. It wasn't as egregious as the Portland game, but I think it was still bad. Like, there was a play literally when Ja Morant went for, like, a half-back dive, and he dove into, like, Knicks defenders that were just, like, standing up like this, and they gave him two whistles. There was another play where Mitch blocked him cleanly on that, like, weird angled, like, floater he was going for. They gave him two free throws for that. We lost. We didn't have another challenge, which I think the rules should be changed, where if you win the challenge, you get it back for another one.
I think
get another one back.
The logic has been like they don't want to slow the game down, but like that, like the NBA games are too close in the last 5 minutes to do something like that. Like if you lose the challenge, you have to be, or like if you have the challenge, you're allowed to use the challenge in the last 2 minutes again. Like that should be something like that, where like maybe it's not happening 5 minutes in, but 2 minutes in. So,
yeah. But yeah, the officiating was inconsistent. Like there were times where like we should have got a foul, but they got a foul, like stuff like that. But it wasn't as bad as the Portland game, where like Jeremy Grant was like basically not getting touched and he was getting whistles. But yeah,
I feel like the most like egregious play though was like when Brunson went for that floater, got whacked, got the ball back, got whacked again, and then
Oh my gosh, yeah. He should have got whistles there, but
he got whacked like three separate times and they called no call. It was a no call. But then like you breathe on Ja and then like it's a foul. But like I can't even complain that because he still got 12 free throws. Like Brunson, for all of the chastity we give the refs, like, Brunson's been getting like a bit of a superstar whistle lately.
He has a star whistle basically now. He has a star whistle.
Yeah, right, I think he's getting some, like, it's getting to the point where he's like good for at least like.
It's about time we finally have someone that gets one. Like, when we had Melo, Melo's a star, and he didn't even get whistles. Like, that was so annoying.
It was nasty. So, like, I feel like he's still getting that respect from the refs. I'm actually curious to see how much free throws Melo was getting with the Knicks. So Melo's career high of free throws with the Knicks was 7.6 in the 2012-2013 season. So
of course
7.6, but in Denver he was getting 9. So like that's a drop off of nearly like 2 free throws a game, which is wild.
Yeah.
And about the end of it, he was only getting like 4 or 5.
Yeah, it was really bad towards the end of it. Like, oh well, you know, it's good to have someone that gets calls now.
Yeah, I can't complain. Like, I think I actually want to see like his last couple of games. I feel like he's got like a lot of 12. It's
definitely helping
9,
him get the 30 ball quicker.
Yep, 12, 9, 6, 4, and 8. The last 5 games. So yeah, he's getting that star level whistle, which is good to see because it's about damn time.
Yep, Hawkeye 420. Whoa, where'd the comic go? Oh, there we go. I've seen enough of Hartenstein. If Thibs isn't going to use him, get some picks for him. Dallas could use him. Sim should be the backup in the system. Pretty much.
Yeah. Pretty much. I just like
Dallas is bad vibes right now, by the way, which is hilarious.
It's wonderful. Can we get that pick? Oh, bro, I'm telling you, Steve Bills really cooked up. He chefed up with that. He knew they wasn't going to pay no minorities in Dallas. He knew it. I can't even say that because they paid Tim Hardaway Jr. But he, anyway. But yeah, like he knew, man, that 2019 pick, Grimes, 2021 pick will come through, be like top 15.
Yeah, there now.
Steve Mills did one good thing for this franchise, and I'm gonna thank him. I'm gonna give him his flowers for that one, and it's fuck him otherwise. But he cooked up with that person good shit. He chefed up with it, and they got him in hell too because they can't trade any picks. 10 out of 10, masterclass trade.
Wow. Shout out to Steve Mills. But yeah, I mean, yeah, I agree with this comment fully. I mean, if Hartenstein is going to be used the way that, you know, people envisioned him and the way that, you know, people anticipated him being used and, you know, the way that he was used in the Clippers, then yeah, just trade him, get something for him, and use Sims, who fits what Dibs' philosophy is for this type of system.
Yeah, again, there's a disconnect between like the coaching and the front office vision of this team, and it's like, if you thought like you gotta talk to dudes. Like, there's no way you were gonna put Hartenstein into a system and make him play drop. Like, Hartenstein literally does two things really, really well. He passes really well, and he's able to get others involved really well. And he's not doing anything of the sort. He's averaging less than an assist per game. Like, why are we doing this? Why are we, like, how is Hartenstein averaging less than one assist per game? And I know that assists aren't like the make-all-be-all playmaking, but it's also like,
he was averaging much more on the Clippers, right?
He was averaging literally like 2.5. So, like, it clearly shows the lack of offensive personnel, the way to use him. And if that was how you were going to use him in the first place, you might as well have just kept Sims and, like, stashed the money.
Yeah.
Could have gotten another wing. So I'm just – I don't know. I just – I would like to see personnel be used correctly.
But if you're not going to use him correctly, then just, like, get something for him.
Yeah. Like, you could absolutely send him to another team and you could get, like, a second round pick. I'm not worried about that. But speaking of personnel being used correctly, we haven't given Cam his flowers yet because Cam was huge in that fourth quarter.
Definitely.
And I do feel like the rigidity that Tibbs has in terms of like guys like Hartenstein, it works so well for Cam. Because
yeah, someone that needs that structure, that discipline.
Dude, like Cam's processing has been significantly better since he started getting regular rotation minutes. Like that play where he basically catches the ball in the left wing, pump fakes, drives, and then like Euro step figure rolls it off the basket. He does not make that play last year. He pulls up from 12 feet, tries to get a mid-range shot.
Definitely.
That play last year where Mitch misses the free throw, RJ Barrett gets the offensive rebound, Cam Reddish is at the top of the key. Instead of taking the shot, he finds Mitchell Robinson open again under the basket, free throw, and one. Like, again, Cam Reddish doesn't make that play the first 3 years of his career. So it's hard when the rigidity for some of these players is really good, because somebody like Cam Reddish is going to literally stay in the league because of Tom Thibodeau. Because Cam Reddish is on his way to Kevin Knox territory, Josh Jackson territory, and now he's going to get himself 8 breakers. So, yeah, like, Cam Reddish played really well tonight. I don't think he should have closed down the stretch. But then again, I can't get mad at him closing down the stretch. And so far, like, again, like, another strong game from him. 11 points in his first game coming back. I think he's at, like, nearly 10 points on the season. Really efficient as well. Like, he makes this team go. He's not the greatest shooter in the world. I expect it to tick up a bit. But, like, his ability to finish, he's playing like he's 6'9". He's finally playing the way he's supposed to be playing. And it's like, you can't complain about that. And again, you have to attribute that to Tibbs, because Tibbs is giving him a role, giving him a structure that he wasn't going to get at Atlanta, and he's playing dividends for him, because I think he's going to be back next year. I think they keep him. So it was – I think Tom Thibodeau probably salvaged that trade. So, like, we talk about how Hartenstein has been
salvaged. So he probably salvages his job too.
Yeah, like – the problem was, like, people – I clowned that trade. Like, we clowned that trade when it happened. We were like, what the hell is Cam Reddish going to do in this team?
Turns yeah, because I didn't envision him getting minutes, but
– yeah, and now he's getting minutes, and it turns out Tom Thibodeau is, like, really good for someone like Cam Reddish. And I think it's going to empower the front office to make a lot of Cam-like trades. Like, you look around the league, there are a lot of young players who aren't in the right situation right now.
Pat Will,
Jacob, like, Cam Thomas, if you want to get, like, that wild. But, like – you look at those guys, you're like, yeah, the Knicks could definitely, like, maybe scrounge something up, maybe trade some salary and, like, get those guys in the system. And, like, maybe when they're trying to make their future moves, at least have some dude under the contract for, like, maybe 2 more years who could just, like, soak up and be ready and learn how to play in a system like this and, like, salvage value out of that. So, like, it's a good theory. I would like to see more of it.
Everything's good in theory.
Yeah, I know. But at the same time, like, it absolutely,
with this coach here too, it's like,
I know. It's give and take with Tom Thibodeau. But for Cam Reddish, Tom Thibodeau has been a godsend. And I feel like you could say that for the first year in the tip system, he's usually a godsend for everybody.
Yes, it's when players are either players or the team as a whole is ready to move past it. That's when things become challenging, as we're seeing with this team currently. Hawkeye 420 also says time to send D Rose to Los Angeles. Yeah, I mean, D Rose is still getting minutes. It's beyond me, but
I can't complain about his minutes tonight. I feel like he played.
They were like charity minutes, but like still, it's like 11 minutes that you could have given to Deuce, or more minutes that could have gone to Quickly, because Quickly played like what, 6 minutes in the first half. Like, that was insane.
He played 9 minutes in the first half, and then
got hurt.
Oh no, never mind.
He only played 9 minutes for the game. So like,
oh. Yeah, I think he, like, immediately got on and then, like, got hurt. So, like, then he came out. But, like, yeah, I did not want Derrick Rose on the team. And I feel like he's been fine, but he hasn't done anything to the point where you're like, yeah, you know, like, Derrick Rose deserves these minutes. He needs these minutes. Like,
he's giving him charity minutes. We don't need that.
Yeah, like, I don't understand why you're not playing Deuce. Like,
Deuce has shown that when he's on the court, it's productive. Like, he's not giving you something, like, spectacular offensively, but, like, he's not also getting in the way, which I feel Derrick Rose does. Also, like, Derrick Rose had this pass where, like, he looked like he was drunk. He passed it to Obi when Obi was almost out of bounds.
Yeah.
Obi had to, like, catch it and then, like, toss it out. And I think it was, like, almost a turnover. It was a turnover.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what's up with Derrick Rose, but he just doesn't have it.
He's old.
Like, let him be old.
Like, he's old. You know that he's coming back from injury. Like, you could have written him off of the season. I would have been okay with that. Like, it's a matter of just, like, you know, thank you for that season in 2020, 2021, where, like, you went crazy in that playoff run. But, like, you're not that guy anymore. You already had another injury with your ankle, and now it's just, like, it's over. Like, so, again, like, he's probably going to get injured again, and then, like, you'll see Deuce get those minutes that he deserves. And realistically, I feel like Deuce minutes would have been effective tonight because, like, their big thing is guard defense because they have a bunch of guards we need to, like, trap up on. And I feel like you could have put him on Ja for a little bit, or, like, you could have put him with Tyus Jones or even, like, Dylan Brooks. You could have been able to do something more. But hopefully this is, like, a side of things to come.
All right, let's see what else we have. So Jordan Bubb, Brunson is still him. RJ, he had a good bounce back game, but he needs to keep up having a good game back to back. Definitely agree there. One of Mitch's best games of the season. Number 30 had a near triple double with usual bad defense. Yep, pretty good summary of tonight's game. But yeah, I definitely agree on the RJ point. Definitely needs to keep having these good games back to back to back. Get that consistency going, because it's definitely going to help. It's going to ease things for Brunson and ease things for the rest of the team as well. Especially when he's making those good reads off those drives, definitely helps those shooters. You know, if they like, that's the thing. I feel like that's part of the, like, when a team is like learning to play with each other, is like learning where each other's going to be and stuff like that, and learning each other's spots. And I feel like if RJ starts to, like, really trust where he knows players are going to be, then he'll do a better job of passing out of those drives and making those right reads. So yeah, definitely.
And again, we forget, but it's only game 20 of the season. So, like, it's a matter of, these guys are still learning how to play with each other. So yeah, like, this is going to take a little bit of time, but, like, I think you're starting to see it slowly. But sure, I feel like Brunson started to, like, amass the reins in the offense now, and that's what you want to see him do. So it's coming along slowly. I do feel like there's more this team can do, and I do feel like they are dead in the water. So I think there'll be some improvements as the season keeps on chugging.
Yeah, definitely. Ace Bouchard says this is probably the first acceptable loss of the season. Yeah, I mean, like I said, when we first started, this was probably the most palatable loss this year, and it's probably going to be the most palatable loss this year because it was basically a shootout, and, like, our best player had the ball in his hands down the stretch, and he just couldn't get good looks to drop. And that's, I mean, you can't really get mad there. Like, that was the best outcome at the end of the game, to be honest. I mean, for what we got, but yeah, I mean, I can't really be, I'm not really mad at this loss, to be honest. Like, I thoroughly enjoyed watching this game, especially watching Brunson take over. I mean, I enjoy watching him take over in the fourth quarter. Although I would like a little more probably offensive creativity, but I'm not going to get that with a Tom Thibodeau team. But yeah, it's basically just give Jalen Brunson the ball and, like, everyone else get out the way, or figure it out. But yeah.
Yeah, it really just the fuck it, Jalen, do something offense. And it's been working. Like, that offense, it's going to get into the All-Star game. So, like, hey. And you know that he can scale down if he needs to. So, like, I do think being able to see how far he can scale up matters for this front office. It matters a ton because, like, he's the guy right now. He is the number one option. He is the facilitator. He is the dude for this team. And seeing how far him being the dude for this team matters, especially if you're going to invest in him long term. So, like, I think we all know at this point, like, the Knicks aren't holding picks for the sake of being, like, fuck you, Gola with my precious. Like, they want a star. So it's a matter of, like, seeing, like, how much does Jalen Star Brunson give you right now? And then when he inevitably has to shrink his role down, because, you know, he can't, he played next to Luka, so that's not even a question. Like, how much can he wrap it up? How much can he ramp it up before he has to wrap it down? It's, like, a really big thing they need to answer. And I do like the fact that they, like, are enabling him and allowing him to do that.
Definitely. Brian says, thank God Grimes and Reddish both played tonight. I wasn't going to be surprised if Reddish didn't play. Yeah, I wasn't going to be surprised if one of them. Honestly, I mean, since Evan Fournier has been sat down, I really wasn't going to be. I wasn't expecting either of them to, like, really sit. I think they were both going to get minutes. I knew Deuce and Sims weren't going to play, basically.
Yeah.
Like, as much as he loves Sims and as much as he loves giving Sims the opportunity, I knew that he was going to, like, stick to the rotation the way it was before, with Grimes just in for Fournier.
Yeah, I didn't really worry about, like, Cam and Grimes, both not, like one of them not getting minutes. It was a 10-man rotation, and he runs a 10-man rotation. Like, Tom Thibodeau at his core wasn't run 10 men. So, like, I wasn't worried about that. I don't know. I think that felt a little overblown to me. People were actually like, you know, he might do it. You know, he's been running 9-man. They're like, he was running 9-man because people were hurt. So.
Yeah. And yeah, I mean, yeah, he was running 9-man because the team was hurt. So I wasn't, yeah, I really didn't expect. I know, like, people were trying to, I guess, like, tamper their expectations for Grimes and Reddish both playing tonight, but I expected both of them to play. It was just a matter of, my questions were always about, is Sims going to continue to be a staple in the rotation? And seems so far tonight he's not, but maybe after, hopefully looking at the game three times, Thibs can realize that, you know, Sims and Hartenstein, it doesn't have to be as rigid as this person is in and this person is out completely. It can be, hey, this matchup requires this, so we are going to play this person tonight over that person. And, you know, it's nothing personal to either player, but it's just, you know, that's how most teams work, I think. It's just like a matter of staggering and, like, what's the word I'm thinking of? Not by committee, but just like...
I think you do move by committee.
Kind of like by yeah. Committee, but also like matchup based. That's what I'm thinking of. Matchup based.
Okay, yeah. This is an interesting tweet that I see from Schmilk on Twitter. Shout out to Schmilk. Question for Knicks fans. Not taking salary into consideration at all, rank these players 1 to 6 in terms of which you would want most to have in your team the next 4 years. With 1 being the player you want most, 6 least. So it's the young players. So RJ, OB, IQ, Grimes, Cam, Mitch.
Oh yeah, I'm just seeing the tweet right now.
I could do that. I might just tweet it out and then like we'll talk about it.
While you're doing that, I will get on to our next question. Or not question, my next comment. Yeah, JL says Hartenstein over Sims is contract politics. Sadly, it's not changing unless he is traded. Yeah. So I mean, if you're not gonna use the guy right, then just trade him, honestly. Yeah. Like Sims. Yeah. Sims is the backup center that Thibs like wants.
He wants it. Like he clearly wants to play Sims, but he cannot play Sims as much as he wants.
Because they just paid Hartenstein.
Because they just paid Hartenstein, and it's like, again, how are you so disconnected from that?
It's a constant thing with this team. I just don't understand how you can be like that disconnected on so many moves.
He doesn't want to play Fournier because he wanted Bullock. He doesn't want to play Hartenstein because he wanted Sims. And both times, you could argue he was right. Like, Bullock...
I mean, yeah, for his system, that's how he runs
and, like,
things.
He clearly has a system. So it's like, I don't know how, if you're going to keep Tom Thibodeau as his coach, like, I'm not saying give him input in free agency decisions, but you need to be able
you
to,
kinda
like...
You kind of got to, like...
You got to be able to, like... Yeah. He's got to understand, because, like, they've drafted around his system. IQ... Obi. Like, Obi was the only pick they didn't make for his system, but he was their lotto pick. And otherwise, Grimes for his system. Sims for his system. Deuce for his system. Hell, you could argue Keels. Keels is a defender first. First and foremost, Keels is a defender. He's 6'4 and built like a linebacker. Like,
built so it's like a matter of like... linebacker is very nice, by the way.
I know, he's built like Kevin Beltran. Anyway, but like... Yeah, like, so they're drafting for like players that would fit his system, but their free agency has been completely different from what he wants, and it just kind of feels really confusing about everything. So that's something that like I want to see that persist into next year if Tom and the front office are both here, especially with this draft, which is going to be, again, the most loaded draft in a generation. So we'll see what happens there. Before we get to that Schmute comment, though... there's a comment by Brian in chat where he goes, who do you see being traded this season? I don't think anybody gets traded this season. I think...
Hopefully Rose and Fournier, honestly.
I think that happens next year. I feel like at that point, Fournier is expiring. Rose probably won't get traded because you could just like... They could use his salary if they need be, and if they don't need to, they could just waive him because he's a team option. So like, I don't see them really getting traded. I think, again, we don't give Rose his, like, charity rest. They'll be like, thank you for the month. Thank you for the memories. You're washed. Whatever. Get out of here. I don't see anybody getting traded, though, but, like, talk to me at draft time. Because that's when I think there's going to, like, the big consolidation is going to happen because they're going to make picks in this draft. They're not trading up like they did last year. They're making picks this year.
I hope so.
If they have a lot of talent. If they have three first-round picks this upcoming draft, which is very possible given the way the Wizards have been playing and given how atrocious the Mavs have been, which, again, job less, I expect to see some picks, and I do feel like they're going to highlight some dudes. And you'll find out what dudes they probably highlight when our draft stuff drops. Draft Strickland is coming.
All right. There's some Draft Strickland teases right there. Let's see. Hawkeye 420. Feels like we keep repeating ourselves with regards to shooting these last couple years, if not a decade. Is it personnel, coach / players issue with this group? Why should we expect a regression?
Because they've been good shooters the last 2 years.
Is it spacing? Why is shooting a chicken or egg situation with New York?
I mean, last year they were like 10th or 11th in shooting. They were decent. Granted, Fournier was playing, and they did lose Allie Burks in the offseason, but at the same time, like, they were decent at shooting. And again, Brunson is a decent shooter. IQ and Grimes, those guys can shoot as well.
Regression to the mean is coming for those guys.
Yeah.
I mean, regression to the mean is already coming for IQ. Like, he's been on it lately. Sadly, he got hurt, so.
Yeah. Do I think they'll be, like, 15th and higher? No, but do I think they'll be bottom? No.
Bottom five.
Yeah, I think they'll be like closer to like maybe 23rd, 22nd, and I feel like that's okay.
But yeah, I mean, with Grimes, when the regression to the mean comes for him, that's going to be huge for our shooting because he was a sniper last year. I mean, the percentages really don't say that he was a sniper, but like he was pretty good for a rookie.
He was 40%. He was 40% on volume.
Yeah.
And then he got hurt towards the end. But, like, before that period where he got hurt, he was, like, at 40% on good volume. And he's coming. He's still, getting his feet underneath him. But, like, he ended the season shooting 38% from three. And, again, that was after that game in where he, like, got hurt in the Miami game. And then he came back and he, like, really slumped. But before that, he was shooting – when he got rotation minutes, he was shooting 40% from three. So, yeah, he's going to be just fine. I would not worry about Grimes at all. And yeah. IQ as well. I think they'll both be fine. I think RJ will even start shooting. I don't think he's going to shoot sub 25% like he's been shooting.
So yeah, there's like no way. There's no way that he can continue shooting like that because that would just be really bad. And he would have to change the shot diet to a DeMar DeRozan shot diet. And, you know, do we really want that?
He can't even do the Martin Rosen shot diet.
Yeah,
he can't hit mid-range shots. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Jordan Bubb says, Luka going to look good orange and blue. Claim it. Absolutely.
I'm hearing there's a lot of head hanging over there. There's a lot of sighing over there.
Yeah,
you saw the bad vibes in Dallas. So, you know, we know Luka grew up wearing a Knicks jersey. So, you know, he's a fan.
I'm telling you, dude. Like,
I feel like they have existence.
They have a trade lined up because they're gonna have all their picks next year, and they don't have a bunch of expiring salaries. Unfortunately, they're not gonna be able to do it immediately. But like, dog. Then again, you have to think about it. Like, the Knicks are gonna be in the conversation as well.
They always will be in the conversation.
So. Like,
just a matter of, you know, completing the conversation.
Do they get like Gobert? Nah. Do they get like Karl Anthony Towns? No. Do they go for Zach LaVine or some shit? Like.
Oh, wow. This is interesting. JL says RJ post All Star break last year was getting more free throw attempts per game than Melo ever got in a season with the Knicks. That's crazy.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure he got more in like maybe that Heat game. Like, he had a couple games with like. He was just going crazy with the assist to, with the free throw attempts. I want to see like how much Melo got. You
smack Duke like that, yo.
Yeah. The Duke is Coach K ain't there no more to save him. It's
still got a pretty good record, but man, Purdue really? Zach E was moving like that. All right. Hug Life. Did RJ lose his agility after BBL surgery?
Dude, he looks like he's moving him a lot. I don't know what he was thinking by bulking up. Dude, like, you are literally...
He needs to go back to the Duke the Duke size.
Like,
he the was bounce really was stupid.
He was pound for pound one of the strongest players in the league last year, and he decided I need to bulk up. He's probably at like 240. Like, he's huge for whatever reason. Like, you need to play at 220, bro.
I miss his Duke athleticism. I really do.
I miss his athleticism, period.
I miss the Duke athleticism. Like, someone put a clip of like his Duke highlights the other day, and I was just like, yo, that, like, the bounce was crazy, like, compared to what it is now.
And that bounce would literally give him so much more
touch. It helps so much with, like, the elevation at the rim. He doesn't have to, like, force things. He'd go over the top of dudes. Like,
I don't know why he wanted to bulk up so much. Like, again, and that's why Drew Haelen is on surveillance, because there's no way as a coach you're like, or as a trainer, you're like, yeah, dude, you're already really, really strong. You should bulk up more.
You should be the Incredible Hulk this year.
Yeah, we just watched him walk around like this. And it's how you get into the paint. You just two free throws. Yeah.
Someone's gotta like get him down in weight. Like he just doesn't need to be that big.
Like oh my god.
Especially if you're
like,
not gonna leverage it in the right way. Just go back to being athletic and like trying to go over the top of dudes instead.
He would be built like Josh Jacobs, bro. Like, what are we doing here?
Did you wanna address your Schmelk thing?
Yeah, it was a Schmelk thing because I tweeted about it. So I got so it's 1-6 with all the young guys. I put IQ, Mitch, Grimes, Cam, RJ, OB. I think IQ, like, his ability as a connector is just really strong. He's a great shooter, can get to the line at a really efficient clip. Like, he just does everything so well on both ends, and if the shooting comes around, you're looking at somebody who's like touching 62 shooting while being a plus defender, plus passer, elite rebounder. So like, I feel like that's a combination where a lot of teams would leverage that ability. Getting on to Mitch now, I feel Mitch doesn't do a lot of things, but the things that he does are elite. So again, you're looking at elite shot blocker, elite finisher, elite rim protector, etc., etc., etc. And his ability to switch on the perimeter, his ability to bang with bigs, his ability to like play a bunch of different coverages and schemes. He's not year three Mitch, where year three Mitch is basically like bouncing all around the place, but he still has that ability to like come out on the perimeter. He has that ability to bang with the best of them. He has the ability to clamp down. And again, you saw his help defense is elite. So I would probably put Mitch in a situation where like, if I had a championship team, I feel like Mitch would be like at least a backup center who would get like 20 minutes a game and would be pretty impactful. Going on to Grimes, pretty self-explanatory there. Elite point of attack defender, three-point shooter, who has budding playmaking skills and then has the ability to attack closeouts. That's what any team would want. Like, you could slot that into any championship-level team, and he would start for any championship-level team, provided they needed a wing. Cam, I have Cam over RJ right now. If this is the way Cam plays, it's hard to argue that he fits on a champion. Like, I feel like you're looking at a situation where, like, Cam is touching, like, Cam could be, like, a 62 shooting wing who, like, shoots a three really well, finishes really well, goes to the line, and just plays really good defense and can guard 1-4 and generates a ton of opportunities on both ends of the court. Again, he had another steal today, but, like, he could average a block and a steal per game, really. So I think you're looking at that kind of situation there. RJ, if RJ buys into the role he's supposed to buy into, which is basically like you attack closeouts, you hit your threes, you play good defense, and you're able to move the ball, then I can like buy him long term, but I still think he's struggling to do that. And again, the offense has never been there for his career, so it's hard for me to project that out when it's never been there. But so far it's been there for Gam, it's been there for Grimes. It's been there for like IQ as well in stretches. I don't think RJ's Barrett has had a prolonged stretch of like offensive efficiency. So I would like to see that before I move him up further. But I feel like if he does have that, then you would put him like third on this list. And OB, what championship team has an OB level, like an OB type player on it? Getting like
significant. Mine in the rebuild, I did.
Nasty.
If you want my answer to this tweet, you go look at that thread every single player is there except for Mitch, because Mitch got upset and wanted to leave. So,
and we got Bobo and fucking
Derek Lively.
And was it Derek Lively? That was
Yeah, Wendell Carter, he left after a year, so we got Derek Lively.
Whatever. Anyway.
I'm just saying.
I mean, you're not wrong. But my thing is, like, with Obi, like, how many, like, championship-level teams or high-level playoff teams are running out of energy bigs who are okay-ish shooters and don't do anything besides, like, cutting? I don't think he really has, like, a place on, like, a high-level team. I feel like he's a good player. He's a good story. At best, he tops as like a John Collins-esque type of player. But again, like, they're trying to move John Collins because John Collins doesn't really do much. So,
well, also it's because John Collins is an idiot and thinks he deserves way much more than, like, he is. Like, John Collins is, like, begging for touches and stuff. Like, Obi's not that type of dude. Like, Obi's a good soldier. Obi's going to buy into whatever role you tell him to buy into.
But the problem is, like, Obi's offense is really limited in terms of, like, what he could do in a
quarter. I got Obi for a discount, by the way, in my rebuild. I got him for, like, 8 years. Like, I mean, not 8 years. 8 mil a year, basically.
I was going to say, you got a 360, dude. You got it for 8 years?
No, I got him for eight mil a year for, like, 3 years.
What?
Yeah.
Wow, he really was like feeding to stay.
Yeah,
my man once said, "I want home cooking, and I'm willing to give up a couple million for it."
He got a chip out of it, so you know it was all worth it.
Crazy. He must have been like 46 at the end of that damn career.
God,
that's he wild. Wasn't.
All
35.
Right, all right, it wasn't that old. But anyways, let's see. Aaron Bender, really good stuff from RJ. But does he absolutely have to be in the closing lineup, even if he's snoozing while his man is getting offensive rebounds and he's getting cooked at the point of the attack? I think that's why we kind of said that because I think RJ had like some good moments, especially late in that fourth quarter too. I think it's so hard because I thought that, you know, everyone on the court was kind of doing something at the end of the game, but like I think Grimes would have helped it with that point of the attack stuff, definitely, which what he was doing in the first half. So it's really hard. I would have staggered lineups. I would have staggered with those three, with RJ, Cam, and Grimes, and you know, stagger them through the course of the fourth quarter. But yeah,
I just I don't know. I feel that there's an argument for RJ Barrett on the court, but there's also an argument to like take him off for better defense. And I can't get mad at him being on the court, but I can also understand people who wanted to see like Grimes instead of him. That's kind of where I'm at.
ZMP323, Drew Hanlon is a fraud. Isn't a coincidence that IQ and Obi have grown a ton since 2021 and they spend their summers in New York City? Yo, RJ, you gotta spend summer in the towns, dog. You gotta spend summer in the towns.
Nah, he wanna go back to Mississauga or whatever, bro, and fucking
He'd be in Florida and like Los Angeles with Drew Hanlon. You gotta stay in the towns, dog. Stay in the towns. My guys, IQ, Grimes, Obi, they all stayed in the town. Sims stayed in the towns.
No, Grimes stayed in the town. Grimes went to Memphis.
Grimes, he went to Memphis with Penny, but he was also here in New York with those guys too, prepping for a summer league. So he spent a good portion of his summer still in here in New York City. So I'm saying, RJ, you got to spend time in New York City in the summer. It's good vibes over here still, you know. It's not, you know, Florida or California vibes in the summer, but, you know, still good vibes. But, you know,
forget that. New York better than Florida or California in the summer. Let's be real, dude. Better than Texas, too. I'll give you that much. Suck out here, man. It's New York.
But, yeah, RJ, you got to spend time in New York City in the summer. Spend time with the guys, IQ, Obi, Sims, you know, Grimes, get with the boys.
Get you a quarter water, get you a snow cone.
Yeah.
With the condensed milk on it. You need the condensed milk on it. If you don't get the condensed milk in your snow cone, you're slacking. That's for everybody in the chat. A couple of white guys in the chat, you know what I'm talking about. Southside Jamaica, that's where I do it best. Let me put on for Jamaica real quick.
I'm crying.
Yeah. Hit up the multiplex, bro. I stay away from the multiplex. But yeah, you know what it is, man. Stay in the city. Westchester ain't got nothing out there. Except for snow bunnies and racism. Come on. You gotta come to the boroughs.
Yeah, you guys stay in New York City. Let's see. So next five games are, someone pointed this out earlier so we can close things out. Pistons, Bucks, Mavs, Cavs, Hawks, next five games. So Pistons, they're interesting. Maybe Kevin Knox revenge game, Alec Burks revenge game. Now let me stop. But now Pistons, I mean, I haven't watched them lately, but I've been like slowly like looking at their box scores the last couple games because I knew they've been playing recently a little bit better. They've been competing with teams, I will say that. They're still 5-17, but they've been competing with teams, so we can't really sleep on them. The Bucks, you know, Giannis, Holiday, they're both back.
Giannis
had a great game the other day, by the way.
I know, but he hasn't felt like he's been Giannis, which is crazy to say, but like he's still a top, like he's still the best player in the league, but he hasn't felt like Giannis, which is weird.
But yeah, I mean, Grayson Allen, we know that boy always. Oh wow, they got Pat Connaughton back. Oh Lord.
Oh,
yeah. I'm already getting flashbacks to what they did to us in MSG last year, bro. I'm getting Vietnam flashbacks right now, man. That game was. We already give up the three crazy, and they just got Pat Connaughton back. Grayson Allen is like, he is killing it from three today too, against the Mavs.
Bro, they had.
He's got 22 points.
Pat Connaughton and Grayson Allen gave us the whitest buckets I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, Grayson Allen is 7-for-8 from three tonight versus the Mavs.
Oh, we're fucked. Oh, that's nasty. Also, Drew Holiday is a scammer. Good Lord, that man is a scammer. Like he's literally just Marcus Smart. He's literally just Marcus Smart with a ring and worse hair. Like,
yeah, I mean, that's what I'm really concerned about. I mean, and of course,
he'll bust out against us. So I'm not even anymore. Why even say anything?
Probably. But also like Bobby Portis, Brooke Lopez, Giannis on the boards. The rebounding is going to be something that is that's something that we stink at. So that's something that's also going to be key in that matchup versus the Bucks. Mavs, I mean,
let's talk about the Mavs real quick. Like,
they are bad vibes right now.
They suck. Like, I saw a stat where it was,
but they're also probably the team that like Reggie Bullock finally breaks out of his like cold streak out of against us.
Nah, no way. You're telling me teams break out against us in cold streaks? That's crazy. And that's bad before. But yeah, bro, I don't know what this roster does well. It literally just Luka Doncic save us. But like, unless he scores 25, they don't even win. Like, bro, you could argue that anybody in the Knicks rotation right now would be their third best player.
Yeah, I mean, Jalen Brunson. He was their second best player, and I mean they are missing him direly right now.
I honestly do not understand why they didn't pay him, bro. Like Mark Cuban really fumbled it, and Jalen wasn't an all-star.
And then they convinced their fans that this iteration of the team was.
Since Tim Hardaway Jr. coming back with like a free agent acquisition, that's when you know your team ain't shit. If you gotta talk about dudes coming back from injury as free agent acquisitions, you're fraudulent. You're a fraudulent front office, and you deserve every ounce of bad luck that's going towards you. Play to win, damn it.
But yeah, the Mavs, we got them coming up as well, so maybe that's a game. I think we always beat the Mavs, so
we waxing them. And I'm talking to SJ on Twitter afterwards.
and I think Jalen Brunson, does he go for 40 against them?
Oh,
he's been killing lately. They didn't want to pay him. I think this game is at MSG, right? Yeah.
It's at MSG. The only thing that would have been better if it's at AAC.
He might go for 40. Brunson might go for 40 this game.
He might
go. And I might put in a parlay for like 40 and like 40 and 10. I think he might go for like 40 and 10.
Man, he gonna put that Mark Cuban in the crowd and be like, this could have been you. He gonna look at Luka, give him the too small. Like he could be throwing up a bunch of John Wall signs. We about to hit a prime Brunson game. It's about to be special. I can't wait for that game.
But yeah, that's going to be a fun game. We got the Cavs.
If they hit 23 threes against us again, then we might be in trouble. But I do think that we could. I think they lose.
I mean, we almost won that game if it wasn't for that, basically. So, if they don't hit those crazy amount of threes, especially Kevin Love just going absolutely nuts in that game, then we probably win that game. Maybe, maybe not, or we don't lose as badly as we did. And then we got the Hawks. The Hawks just recently, they lost today, and they just lost after having a big lead versus the Rockets the other day. So they are reeling a little bit, so maybe a good time to pounce on them. We'll see how they do in the next couple of days leading up to our game. But I feel confident in that game a little bit more. Trey hasn't been all that good this year, but that obviously didn't matter versus us because DeJounte Murray decided to have one of the games of his life. Tyler had a triple-double today. Interesting. 11, 11, and 10. Whack-ass triple-double, but whatever. I think we'll do okay in these next couple games. I expect a lot of these games to be shootouts, as most Knicks games have been recently, which is annoying as hell, but at least we know our offense can keep up with basically any other team in the league right now.
The problem is the defense, and really the offense is just Jalen Brunson, and it's like we're telling him, yo, bro, you're 6'1", but we actually treat you like you're 6'6". Could we put in the team with your shoulders?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, hopefully, Grimes shooting regression to the mean happens. Hopefully, Quickly's injury is not that bad. Good loss, I would say, today. Hopefully, we have some good wins coming up. I'm tired of this win-loss-win-loss thing, though, or this win-loss-loss-win. Loss, win, loss. Like, I'm tired of just like the on and off winning and losing. Like, just either start losing a whole bunch of games and like pick a direction, or just start winning a whole bunch of games. Like, I'm so annoyed at this structure of like winning and losing.
Welcome to being a 500 team. It's not going to get any better.
It's annoying.
Also, closing words from Jalen Brunson: if I can walk, I can play.
That's what I like to hear. Because if you're on the court, that means like you're healthy. If not, if you don't feel healthy, get off the court. Simple as that.
RJ Barrett's stomach. Anyway, yeah, that's it.
That's all we have for today's show. Shout out to everyone that tuned in. Shout out to everyone that left a comment. Make sure y'all check out everything Stricken related in the description. Links to the merch, the Twitter, the Patreon, and the site, all great ways to support us. Check us on Instagram now at thestrick.land. We are on Instagram now, just in case at any moment Twitter decides to self-destruct. You have another way to get your Knicks Strickland fix. We'll be back on Tuesday evening after the Pistons game. That should be a win. That is only one of three games that day in the NBA. Wow. Shout out to NBA scheduling. But yeah, we will be back after that game. That is a 7 p.m. start, 7:10 p.m. start, because, games don't start on time in the NBA. 7:10 p.m. start on Tuesday. We will be back then. Peace out. Make sure y'all subscribe and leave a like.